after the apartheid regime, they're supposedly democratic, but 2 years ago we had those xenophobic attacks. Why? Because black South Africans do not have access to the economic resources. These are things we should be discussing, but we're not. We're so happy about the end of the apartheid regime, but as one of the speakers talked about this morning, there's still economic apartheid, and the World Cup is really the symbol of that.
But I think it's so important that folks in this room, that we actually arm ourselves, especially when we're watching the games and interacting with people. I see it as an opportunity for us to have a much broader, more interesting discussion with the folks around us.
We have to take a moment and celebrate the symbolism and also celebrate the opportunity to actually have Africa spotlighted in multiple ways. So yes, that is one foot, and we have to embrace that foot. But the other foot is saying, South Africa, where the vision of moving from an apartheid era to a new era of economic justice, and then essentially, look, a few decades later, seeing that that economic model we all fought for, struggled for, envisioned, still hasn't come into practice.
I think this is very important because what we're doing here, and that is we're paying attention to sports. I feel that when we look at some of the things that are taking place politically in our world, sports is where a lot of things play out, you know, whether it's issues of health, issues of labor, you know. This here is just a given. I mean, I walk around D.C. and I see everybody with their T-shirts and stuff. And for us to not look at that, you know, means that we're not interacting with the community.
We're listening. Kulumani, don't sleep. We're not deaf. We can hear. Kulumani, we're listening. Kulumani, listen up.
The first coin of the 2010 FIFA World Cup was tossed in host country South Africa. Amidst the entire African continent's excitement over its hosting debut, South Africa makes its mark in the intersection of soccer fever and government and corporate accountability. On June 9th, peace and justice activists and true fans of the sport came together to bring to light the contradictions and possible solutions surrounding this historic event.
I'd like to welcome everyone to Bus Boys and Poets. My name is Andy Shalal. I'm the owner, and I'm also a member of the board of IPS. So I'm proud to have this event here, as we have so many IPS events here that we really love and enjoy, and so many people come here. What other kind of event would garner this many people in the middle of the day? So I assume you're really interested in what IPS is doing. So welcome. Nice to have you here. I'd like to welcome John Kivana, who is the executive director of IPS right now. And Ethelbert Miller, who's the chair of the board. Ethelbert Miller, right there. We're really excited about the upcoming World Cup soccer, and we have this wonderful little bingo game, and throughout you'll be able to fill it out and shout out, say bingo, and then you'll be able to win two tickets for the Talia Mafia dinner, which will take place in October. And if you know more than three answers, you're a soccer nerd. So it'll be interesting to see how many of these you all will get. We have a great panel here with us, some from IPS and others. We are proud to have with us Amira Woods.
Let's be realistic. The World Cup started in 1930, and since then, it has never been in Africa. It has never been in Latin America. This is huge.
Who is with IPS. She is... She's the co-director of Foreign Policy and Focus, and also works a lot of gender equity all over the world. Also with us is Patrick Bond.
The insulation of those with money from the vast majority has been fine-tuned to an art. And that we've seen with the construction of not just stadiums, which would just be for the elites and only really be used on these occasions.
Who's a professor at KwaZulu-Natal University in South Africa. And Topi Falari, who is with IPS.
Let's say some of us in this room might have an opportunity to plan the next World Cup or the next Olympics. How should we go about doing that? What's the positive way to make this happen in a way that benefits the host country and everyone else who's coming without some of the abuses we've seen with this World Cup?
He's the Newman Fellow at IPS and a really rising star, so we're really excited to have him here as well. And of course, our very own, we'd like to thank our very own David Zirin.
The degree of FIFA control is something that's very profound. The way to understand it is you got to think of FIFA or the International Olympic Committee like McDonald's headquarters. And what they demand of an individual country is that they're a franchisee. And so it's not South Africa right now, it's FIFA presents South Africa.
Who's been here often and has a show on XM radio called The Edge of Sports and has been outspoken on issues that deal with sports and politics. It's wonderful to have you. Welcome to Busboys and Poets. We will have our presenters say a few words and then we'll do an exchange with this microphone with people from the audience. Thank you for being here. Thanks.
Freedom of man. When I feel another first world hand on the land where we stand. One nation, body and soul. Trapped by a net like the ball in the gold. Hold up, take it back in time. When the black one suffered under white one crime. Fast forward to the present day. See the poor ones pay while the rich ones play. The stadiums are stunning and the players are keen. The fat cats are fatter while the people seem lean. The scene looks set for a proper match. Never seen a better scheme than this pluck they hatch. The same ones who killed all our prophets, my people. The same ones are pulling in the profits, my people. The blood on the ball that the player kicks is the same blood spilled in 76.
So I'd love to jump in here. First, to echo all of those saying thank you to those of you who took time to be here. Thank you so much for joining us. And thank you, of course, to Busboys. But I guess I really want to jump in where Dave left off in terms of these two sides, one foot on each side, because I feel like I do have one foot on each side. Mm-hmm. One foot is absolutely saying it's World Cup. It's in Africa. Let's be realistic. The World Cup started in 1930. Yeah. And since then, it has never been in Africa. It has never been in Latin America. This is huge, right? So we have to take a moment and celebrate the symbolism and also celebrate the opportunity to actually have Africa spotlighted in mm-hmm. multiple ways. So yes, that is one foot, and we have to embrace that foot. But the other foot is saying South Africa. South Africa, where the vision of moving from an apartheid era to a new era of economic justice, where that vision that led up to 1994 and the ouster of the apartheid government, with all of the solidarity from trade unions, from faith-based leaders, from people around the world holding hands to say enough is enough, demanding a different economic model, and then essentially, look, few decades later, seeing that that economic model we all fought for, struggled for, envisioned, still hasn't come into practice. So the World Cup is almost like this opportunity to actually unmask all of the frustrations. And I think what you're seeing in these protests are communities saying, enough is enough. We demanded a different way. We fought for freedom, not just freedom in terms of the racial divide, but freedom in terms of the economic divide. And here the World Cup comes and it is an affront to all those who struggle for a better way. When you see community after community being displaced for stadiums to be built, when you see community after community facing higher rates in, again, electricity costs and other utility costs to make way for corporations, including some of the corporations being held up high in this World Cup, people are demanding a space to say another way must be possible and demanding that a new leadership emerge. Many are wondering, could this be the space where you could perhaps see enough momentum again on the left that could maybe galvanize people enough, touch enough of a chord post-World Cup, perhaps, mm-hmm. yeah. right? To say we demand a different type of representation. I think this is the opportunity in the weeks to come yeah. to see how these movements that have been building for so long actually find greater footing. I think the other opportunity in 4 years is going to be in Brazil, the country that has the highest number of Africans, right? Afro descendants in the world. So already there are discussions underway. To what extent can the World Cup actually bring lessons to the Afro descendants in Brazil to demand that there be greater jobs, that there be greater visibility of their issues, of their communities, as we move forward to 2014?
So where to now? We're gonna sit back and watch while the country's caught in a corporate clutch. Too much, too long, we paid the price. Sweating in the streets so the stands look nice. Yo, go get your ticket, go get your seat. Go pay the price so the bus can eat. But when they start to squeeze for additional fee, throw up your finger and keep your fist free. It's a beautiful game, how they came to gain. People look away while they rape again. It's a beautiful game, see we lose again. Still playing this beautiful game. It's a beautiful game, when we stand on the side while they play with the pieces and we play with our pride. It's a beautiful game, how they loan us to own us. They've shown us a beautiful game.
We've heard a lot about how the informal economy in South Africa is not being allowed to sort of participate in this process, and they've traditionally been a major part of soccer and football in South Africa. Could you talk a bit about how that's happening in South Africa?
Yeah, it's just like Dave said, the inequality has gotten terribly amplified, and it's the structural economic development model in which 24% increase in wealth for white South Africans since the end of apartheid, 1% decline for black South Africans, according to the latest government statistics. So we are talking about a transition from racial to class apartheid, and the insulation of those with money from the vast majority has been fine-tuned to an art. And that we've seen with the construction of not just stadiums, which will just be for the elites and only really be used on these occasions. Dave can maybe make some predictions about how huge gargantuan stadiums with 95,000 seats in Soccer City or in Durban, where I live, 70,000, will really not ever be filled. But also the airports, the brand new airport in Durban cost $1 billion. A new high-speed train from the Johannesburg airport to the financial district comes in at over $3 billion. Those are the sorts of major investments that are sucking money out of what could be recycling and trickling down, if you will, or at least some sort of backward-forward linkage. Instead, informal sector traders are being banned from anywhere within a 1 kilometer vicinity. And indeed, any product they have that even has a hint of being associated with 2010 is forbidden because of the monopoly copyright laws. In Durban, fisher folk, right, the people fishing for a living, have been tossed off the main piers because they want to give an appearance for the tourists. A shopping mall was proposed that would have gotten rid of a major 100-year-old market where Indian and African informal traders operate, and luckily very strong resistance prevented that. Street children have been swept off. Any of the other trickle-down promises, including to the rest of the African continent, hosting the teams when they trained, or doing special deals to get more Africans to come, just haven't worked. So in all of these regards, even the mascot for the World Cup is a little leopard doll, Kazumi, and that was supposed to be made in South Africa with South African workers. We had a million jobs lost during the economic crash, but it turns out it was outsourced from a Chinese factory where the workers are paid just about $2 a day. So these are the sorts of things that suggest the uneven development that's really plagued South Africa and created the conditions for the highest rate of social protest in the world after China. At the moment. In fact, the last 5 years, it's even outpaced China in protests from communities, that this all gets amplified. And as Dave actually wrote in an earlier column, it's like the World Cup puts a magnifying glass and finds every blemish in South Africa and amplifies it, meaning even things like the ability to protest and our democratic rights, our sovereignty, the ability of a journalist to write critically about the World Cup is eviscerated there. It's actually illegal if you've signed up on the contract to get accreditation to throw FIFA, the organizing body, into disrepute.
They try to claim the beautiful game, put a stain on the beautiful game. They came to buy us and sell us again, bring shame to the beautiful game. They brought back the slave, they remade the chain, put a stain on the beautiful game. I'm never gonna play it in the same way again, bring shame to the beautiful game.
I'm not
talking to the people in the stands on the side, the people that'll need a little hope in their lives. I'm not talking to the kids that wanna see the stars, wanna see a future without death or jail bars. I'm not talking to the coach, I'm not talking to the team, I'm talking to the money man behind the screen. I'm trying to stop another dummy move getting passed. I'm looking for some answers to some questions I ask, like who built the bullets, who built the guns, they aimed at his back while Hector runs. Who built the Caspers that rolled in the street when they had the people pushed to the edge of defeat? Who made the machines? Who makes the device? Who plays for profit and who pays the price? Who made the system and who supplied it? Who knows the truth and who denies it? It's over, done with it, no more lies. We're playing with our balls while they're playing with our lives. They come disguised like they're playing for our side, but the minute that is finished, they're the first to fire. On to the next one like Giga. They built the weapon and we pulled the trigger. The picture's bigger than the game that's played. They sold back then and they're still getting paid.
But I just read a really interesting piece by you, Dave, about how the lead-up to the World Cup has been sort of an Invictus in reverse. I was wondering if you could expand on that a little bit.
Sure. Yeah, so I wrote a column called Invictus in Reverse. Just show of hands of who saw the movie Invictus by chance. Okay, great. I mean, for those who didn't see it, directed by Clint Eastwood, it starred Matt Damon as a rugby player with a thick Afrikaan accent, and Morgan Freeman, as per law in Hollywood, played Nelson Mandela. And the film, which is based on true events, and the film, which also contains more than a bit of fiction, the lily is very gilded, but the basic message of the film is about how sport brought South Africa together after the fall of apartheid. Now, I called the World Cup prep Invictus in Reverse because in my research before I went to South Africa and then from what I saw there, you saw two different things taking place. The first was this idea that the concern, the overarching concern by the organizers of the Cup was not how do we see ourselves? Are we unified? Are we together? Is the country growing? Is it developing? The overarching concern is how does the world see us? You saw quote after quote after quote from people like President Jacob Zuma or Danny Jordan, who's the big honcho of South African soccer, saying things like, we will show the world that South Africa is a first-class country. We will show the world that South Africa is suitable for hosting an event of this magnitude. And then how do they show the world? They show the world by a process that, unlike the Invictus model of bringing the country together, a model of stratification and tearing the country further apart. For example, how do they show the world that they can host a tournament like the World Cup? Well, one way is by spending more than 20 billion rand, and an exceptional amount of money, it's 7.7 rand to the dollar, on building 9 new stadiums. And when Danny Jordan was asked about this, he said, and this quote to me should be on his tombstone, he said, everybody always says that we should just be putting money towards hospitals, and why are we spending money on stadiums when money could be going towards hospitals? Or no, well, let me tell you, no child is born and says, I want to grow up and go to a hospital. Now, you think about that for a second. Think, well, maybe if this child does not have health care, that's exactly what they dream of when they're born. But that's the Danny Jordan model. And it's one of the things where instead of bringing the country together, I think one of the things that the World Cup has done has actually been to highlight many of the divisions in South Africa. And this is something that FIFA does wherever it goes. But when you go to a country like South Africa, which does have such a profound gulf between rich and poor, a profound gulf between black and white, those divisions become really huge. It's like, I don't know if people saw, and I'll end with this, I don't want to go on too long, but when Rachel Maddow recently did a show where she spoke about Rand Paul and civil rights, and she had this model of the tuning fork, did people see that? And she was like, sometimes in our society, these issues that are always there become huge, and you can hear them in ways you can't otherwise. There's something about that process now with the World Cup, and now we're at a point where, according to the Christian Science Monitor today, it's going to come out to $122 per citizen in South Africa. And that's absolutely unacceptable. It was an economic model that did not have to be this way. But now it is, and now the people of South Africa are going to have to deal with the hangover once the party is over.
This isn't a track about soccer. This isn't a track about who supports the World Cup and who doesn't. This is about who pays for the World Cup and who profits. It's a track about accountability, about responsibility, about who owes who. It's about payback. It's about reparations. It's about a nation still paying for the bullets that put the bloodstains on our history. A nation's pride is bigger than a soccer side. It's about using the ball for the system's downfall. Kulumani.
It's a beautiful game.
How they came to gain. People look away while they rape again.
It's a beautiful game.
See we lose again. Still playing this
beautiful game.
It's a beautiful game.
When we stand on the side while they play with the pieces and we play with our pride.
It's a beautiful game.
How they loan us to own us. They've shown us a
beautiful game.
They try to claim the beautiful game. Put a stain on the beautiful game. They came to buy us and sell us again. Shame to the beautiful game. They brought back the slave. They remade the chain. Put a stain on the beautiful game. I'm never gonna play it in the same way again. Bring shame to the beautiful game.
They tried to claim the beautiful game.
Put a stain on the beautiful game.